This is Marketplace. I'm Kai Rizdahl. A lot of cities around the country are trying to figure out something that transportation planners call the last mile problem. How do you get people who don't drive across that last mile from the nearest transit stop to wherever they want to get faster than them walking? It's a particular problem in low-income neighborhoods where a lot of people don't own cars and transit can be spotty. Marketplace's Megan McCarty-Carino looked into how the sharing economy and how it's growing might help solve that problem. Think two-wheeled options.
For years, Eric Huerta and his Los Angeles group People for Mobility Justice have been big fans of bikes.
As like viable alternatives to having a car and maintenance and all that comes with it.
He's worked to expand access to public bike share with discount programs and community outreach, but he's starting to realize traditional docked bikes can only go so far.
It's a whole process, right? They have to remove a parking space. They have to install the system where you have to check it out and the bikes and all this other stuff. Seeing where the bikes are being placed, it's super obvious that these are like touristy locations.
In his mostly Latino neighborhood of East LA, there are no bike share stations. But lately, here and there, he has been seeing electric scooters, the zippy little devices that have practically taken over wealthy neighborhoods at the beach more than a dozen miles away.
And I would just think, wow, I guess somebody really took it all the way out here.
Huerta and his neighbors regard the scooters with a kind of wary curiosity, like escaped zoo animals that might be dangerous.
You associate it with like tech bros, like, oh, that's for tourists, that's for folks, you know, who aren't from here.
In well-heeled communities, scooters have riled people up because they can be picked up and dropped off pretty much anywhere, including the middle of the sidewalk. But Regina Clulo, the CEO of Populous, a data platform that works with cities and scooter companies to analyze how they're being used, says that also makes them surprisingly egalitarian.
We are finding that newer services, such as dockless bikes and scooters, are being adopted at higher rates by traditionally underserved communities.
Clulo found that in Washington, D.C., dockless devices like scooters were spread more evenly throughout low-income neighborhoods, and that Black residents were almost three times more likely to try them than the docked Capital bike share system. Like many cities, D.C. is making policies to promote dockless transportation in low-income areas. For example, you can check out a scooter using preloaded cash instead of a credit card. Los Angeles has capped the number of scooters in most areas, but allows more in disadvantaged neighborhoods, and several cities require discounted rates for people on public assistance. The scooters typically cost $1 to unlock and 15 cents per minute. Lime cuts that in half and Bird waives the $1 fee. But forcing private companies to serve the public good is a delicate balancing act, says Susan Shaheen, a professor at UC Berkeley who studies emerging transportation tech.
It's going to be important that the companies aren't so encumbered that they're unable to start inching towards profitability, because then they may be forced to leave altogether.
That's what the Chinese bike company Ofo did. It was one of the early entrants into the dockless market, but it pulled out of 30 U.S. cities over the summer because it said local regulations were undercutting its business model. Shaheen says another big obstacle for scooters is how they may be perceived.
The image of that or the relationship of that to tech could also be a limiting factor in its appeal to low-income neighborhoods.
That's the case for transportation activist Eric Huerta and the people in the communities where he works. As those neighborhoods gentrify, it's almost like scooters are a physical manifestation of the forces that threaten them.
We've kind of been left out in the cold for so long. So when you see these kind of new services come in, it's healthy to be, you know, hesitant about, well, is this for me?
But he's cautiously optimistic. Scooter companies have reached out to him for input, and he's willing to give them a chance.
I really want to try this out for myself and see what it's all about, just to get a better understanding of whether this is something that I would take seriously as a mode of transportation.
And that underserved neighborhoods can depend on scooters to help solve the last mile problem. Or whether they'll end up just another tech fad that burns out like yesterday's hoverboards. In Los Angeles, I'm Megan McCarty-Carino for Marketplace.